Continue in the sermon series called Olympic Trials. And so maybe you picked it up or haven't, but we're in this series and it'll come up here in a minute. But let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and your love, your power. God, I pray for Pastor Adam, Lord, as he's there in New York City. God, I pray grace, I pray power, I pray anointing upon him. Give him wisdom, give him strategy, Lord, to minister to your people. And God, here this morning, I pray open hearts, open minds. Lord, give me the knowledge, Lord, to communicate your word to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to continue in a series that we've been in called Olympic Trials. And the overarching theme of the series was to help people to have a perspective on how to go through trials in life and then how to continue to keep moving forward and how to overcome them. And so the first week we talked about Olympic trials. There's things that you have to go through in order to get to ultimately where you want to go and how to persevere and know that God is doing a work in you. And there's a difference between being tested and tempted. That was something that we talked about. There's a difference between being tested and tempted. See, the enemy, he'll tempt you, but God is going to test you in your faith. He's going to see if you really believe in what you believe in. And there's a difference, because when you start going through trials, when things get a little rocky, get a little rough, you don't know what you have until you go through something. And so it's so important to understand there's going to be trials that we'll face. Just like these Olympic athletes, before they put on the USA, before they put on the red, white, and blue, there's a trial to make the team. There's something they got to go through first. There's a testing. The next was the training. Just like they have to train, we too have to go through training. And that training sometimes is discipline. A lot of people don't like to throw that word around, but God is disciplining you and I. The things that we go through, you know, I heard it said a long time ago, there's a difference, and there's something about pain and pride. See, pain will teach a man or a woman, but pride won't let you learn. And so when you go through something during your difficult moments or your difficult times, all of a sudden you learn to stay the course. You don't want to get off on that rocky road again. You don't want to go through that difficult situation again. So when that thing comes your way, you're all of a sudden like, wait, I've been there before. I know how that felt. Let me stay the course. Amen. In week three, we talked about Olympic battles and that there's battles. There's internal battles, things that we wrestle with. Maybe there's things that we have going on personally in our own souls that man, you know, I wrestle with on a daily basis. Maybe there's addictions, things that have been passed down from generation to generation, and you wrestle with those things, and you have to learn how to overcome those battles, overcome those struggles. And then also there's the external battle. How many know there's things that go on outside? Not everybody wants you to make it, especially the enemy. So there's forces to keep you and I from staying that course as a man or woman of God. And so it's so important to understand, what do I need to do internally and externally to continue to fight this good fight of faith and to win this battle? And today we're going to talk about the Olympic crown. How many know that on this side of eternity, it doesn't end here? That as believers, as those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, one day we'll stand before the Almighty God. And when we stand before him, there's some things that he's going to be communicating to you and I. And so I don't want to jump too far ahead this morning, but that just like you see this man here standing on stage, lifting his hand, Michael Phelps, with this medal around his neck, there was a lot of things that he had to go through in order to get on that stage and to be able to lift his hands and to put that medal around his neck. See, that's a crown. That's something that he achieved. There's a prize. And just like here on this side of eternity, there's a prize in heaven. There's something God is going to give you and I when we finish this race, when we move forward. And so today, if there's anything I want you to know leaving here this morning, is that no matter what, you and I have to keep moving forward. That no matter what life throws at you and I, you have to continue to move forward. And the old saying is not how you start, but it's how you finish. So you can start strong, and remember, this is not a sprint. This is something, this is nothing that's quick, but this is a journey. This is a marathon. And so you have to, along the way, you're going to hit bumps, you're going to hit things, obstacles, but you have to keep moving forward. So I want to go to the beginning. So if you're going to join a team, this man had to start from somewhere. You and I had to start from somewhere. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, 11, God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not harm you, but to give you hope and a good future." See, God made you and I a specific way. In order to find out who we're called to be and what we're called to do, we have to have an encounter with the living God. See, all my life I grew up thinking I was called to play football, but that wasn't the plan. God had a bigger plan. This is what you were born for, to preach the gospel. But I didn't know that being away from God. So when I came to him and I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, now all of a sudden I joined a team, God's team. And see, Jesus is the boss of that team. He's the CEO of that team. He is the captain of the team. So now I have to listen to what he's saying. What is his instructions? So when you and I give our lives to the Lord, there's somebody in charge. His name's Jesus. Next of all, God gave me a coach. He gave me what we call pastors. Anybody got a pastor in the house this morning? You know what I'm talking about, Pastor Adam, Pastor Dottie. You got someone in your life to coach you along the way in this journey. Just like these athletes, they may have made the team, but they have a coach. They have somebody that's going to challenge them, that's going to push them and help them get just a little bit better. You're on Jesus' team, and you need to have somebody around you. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:12 that the pastors are called to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So we have to equip you. Just like athletes have to be equipped, somebody has to come and tell us, don't do this, don't do that. You know what? If you do this a little bit different, you'll make it. If you go this way, you may get a little stronger, a little bit faster. The Bible says in Acts 2:36 through 38, let's read this. This is Peter speaking. And Peter said this, "Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucify." Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said, "Peter and the rest of the apostles, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So this is the initial start as a believer. I need to repent. I need to turn away from whatever I used to do, what I used to be, and I need to put my hope and trust in Jesus Christ. But it didn't stop there. It said, now be baptized. Say baptized. A couple weekends ago, we had a lot of people in this church go out there in that trough. We had a trough. We didn't have no tub around here. We did it kind of country. You know, we put them in the trough. But it didn't matter. It worked. You know, as long as you get under that water, that's all that matters. And so we baptized some people, but a lot of people think just getting baptized, that it's just going through the motions, that there's nothing happening, that you're just getting wet. But the Bible says in Colossians 2:11 and 12, it says, "In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh of circumcision in Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working with God who raised him from the dead." There is something supernatural that takes place during water baptism. See, the Holy Spirit, what it is he's drawn to faith. And see, it takes faith to get into that water. It takes faith to go ahead and go allow yourself to be laid into this water and to come up just like Christ came out of that grave in the newness of life. See, the Holy Spirit comes and cuts away what we call the old man or the old woman. And cutting away of this old man and woman, you're burying him and you're saying, no longer is that old man, that dead woman going to be attached to me, but I'm coming up in the newness of Christ, and no longer does the devil have power over my life, but now Jesus Christ is Lord, and you're making a public declaration of it. See, when you don't cut sin off of your life, you don't get that old man or woman off your life, it becomes heavy. It becomes weighty. And you can't run this race like the way you want to run it because you have weight of sin on your life. So a lot of these athletes, the first time I got around wrestlers, any wrestlers that are around here, any people that know wrestlers, and I was walking around on my college campuses, and these wrestlers, what they do is they got a cup, and they walk around and they spit in this cup. And I'm like, what is that? You know, I'm from the South, man. When you spit in a cup, there's usually something in your lip that you're spitting in, you know, into this cup called tobacco. So I wasn't picking it up, and they're like, they just be walking around spitting in this cup all day. And I what are you doing? He said, man, I gotta keep my weight. I gotta lose weight. Spitting makes you lose weight. Well, I'm about to spit too, because I need to, you know, I'm watching them like, what are you doing? They're like, man, I gotta keep my weight. You remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, you remember those leg weights everybody used to wear when they'd work out, trying to be all tough, and, you know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to work out and exercise with these weights on. And these athletes used to do that as well. Now they got these body vests where they stick these weights in these vests, and they run and they work out, just because when they get out there to compete, when they take that off, it makes them feel lighter. And it's the same thing that you and I need to do. When we are out there walking in life, we want to take that sin off our life, that old man, that old woman. Even though you may have been baptized, there's still things that are weighing you down from continuing from moving forward. And you have to be able to take that weight off. And I'm going to say something. You can say, oh my, or you might say, amen, or you might even say, ouch, after I say this. But what I'm telling you this morning, there might even be times you got to cut people off. Because there are some people that are weighty. There are some people that are keeping you from being what God has called you to be. And sometimes you got to cut them off. I love you. You're still my brother or sister in Christ. But you know what? I need to keep moving forward. And what you're doing beside me to my left and to my right, you're keeping me from being the man or woman of God that I'm called to be. So you're going to have to get away so that I can continue this journey. It's a tough word, but it's the truth. Because a lot of people don't have your back. A lot of people don't have your best interest. You got to get people that care about you, that want to edify you and build you up. You want people around you that'll speak life and not death. You want people that'll encourage you to keep moving forward. The next thing, when you're on this team and all of a sudden you see this thing, what people are drawn to is called power. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, 7 and 8, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. It is not for you to know the times or areas which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and even the uttermost parts of the earth. See, Jesus knew something. And the disciples were like you and I. They got caught up in the times. This matters, that matters. But what about this and what about that? And Jesus had to turn to him and rebuke him and say, you know what? You don't need to worry about all that that's going on out there. What you need to focus on is you need to get some power in your life, because there's something that's getting ready to come. I'm getting ready to leave. And see, you've walked with me and you've seen some things. You've seen me raise the dead. You've seen me walk on water. You've seen me feed thousands. You've seen a lot of miracles, but right now I'm getting ready to go. And so when I leave, I'm sending something down, which is called the Holy Spirit. And when he gets here, he's going to endue you with power to be a witness. See, what America needs right now, they don't need another reality TV show. They need men and women of God that'll witness and share their faith, because the only thing that's going to change a man or a woman eternally is the power of God. See, we need a witness. We need to go to our coworker. We need to go to our neighbor. We need to go to our family member and share the good news, because the only thing that changes a man or woman is God, is Jesus Christ himself. And so we can't get caught up on what's going on out there. No, you know what? I just need to keep being me as a man or woman of God, and I need to love them and treat them right, just as God said to treat, love your neighbors as you love yourself. And you know what? Just show them the love of Christ and you watch what happens. All it takes is one person to start a revolution. You change a man on a college campus or a woman on a college campus, and next thing you know, they're standing up for what's right, and it turns the tide in this nation. You go through history, and that's all you see, man and woman after each other doing something great in this nation, because somewhere, somewhere, somebody spoke a word to them that caused them to rise up and say, enough's enough. Power. See, there's a lot of people in the athletic world that you saw that were competing, and they were cheating to get that power. See, athletes will do whatever they got to take to get that power on them, to get that edge, to keep moving forward in life. So you got people taking HGH, this drug, to go out there, and these players are losing lots of money because of it, just so they can get that edge and get that power, to be just a little bit stronger than that man on the other side of the ball from them, or to hit home runs and to do all these things. But you know what? That's not real power. The real power is this, is that when a man or a woman is filled with the Spirit of God and they speak the Word of God, things happen around them. Culture changes. That's power. And that's the only thing that the enemy respects, is power. Jesus' power in you and I. And so we can't play around with this. We need the power of God to witness. We need the power of God to keep moving forward, because in life, battles are real. They're real. And when you have God's power dwelling inside of you, think about this just for a moment. The same power that created the heavens and earth dwelling inside of you and I. See, God is one of those dads, you one of those fathers at a baseball game, behind the chain link fence, looking over, telling his son or daughter, you can take them, you can do it, go out there and fight. That's God. For us, he's looking down, man. He said, look, I've given you power to win this struggle. I've given you power to live life. I've given you power to be the man or woman that I've created you to be. I've given you power to be the husband, the father, the businessman, the doctor, the lawyer. I've given you power to do these things. Now go and take it. Go and win this battle for Jesus. Fight the good fight of faith. Power. The next thing these men and women like to do when they're training and they're moving forward, and they have what they call training partners. People that will come alongside them and challenge them to be great. Every great athlete in the Olympics has a training partner. They don't work alone. They always got somebody maybe just a little bit better than them, or somebody a little bit more knowledge than them. They got a coach that can take them to another level. See, the Bible says in Psalms 92, 13 and 12, it says, the righteous man will flourish like a palm tree, will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. In verse 13, I didn't give this to him, it says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of God. Amen. See, when you get planted in the house of God, all of a sudden, you get people around you that are like-minded, some more mature, some more seasoned, that are going to challenge you in your walk with God. Anybody get around somebody that just prays a little bit more than you do? Somebody that you get around, somebody that reads their Bible, they know the word a little bit more than you, it kind of provokes you. Like, wait a minute, how do you memorize scripture the way you memorize scripture? You know, what is it that you're doing that's got you a little bit better in your walk with Christ? You know, I've noticed that your marriage, you know, it may not be perfect, but you know what? There's something you are doing right, because your wife, ooh, she's looking good, and your husband, he's acting right, and you know, all this is going on. So I need to get around people like that that's going to help me get better. And I don't know any man or any woman that doesn't want to get better. Because everybody has that thing inside of them that causes them to say, you know what, I can go just a little bit further. I can be just a little bit better, but I have to get around the right people to take me to that place. See, the Bible says in Proverbs 27, 17, as iron sharpens iron. Come on now, when iron hits iron, there's sparks. When iron hits iron, there's something that's going to happen. You need to rub up against somebody that's going to kind of get you angry. Like, why you got to be all in my business? You know what I'm talking about. You need somebody that's going to be in your business, that's going to ask you the tough questions as a man. See, that's what I love about Pastor Adam and how we roll as brothers in Christ. He's asking me the tough questions. You know, how's it going? What you watching on TV? What time you getting into bed at night? Now I can push back and be, man, I'm a grown man. How you gonna talk to me and ask me where I'm at in the middle of the night? But you know what is important? Is that's my brother in Christ who cares so much about me, that wants me to make it in life, that's pushing me a little bit further, saying, you know what? I just want to make sure you're all right. And I thank God for people like that. How about you ladies? I'm going to get y'all. Now it's y'all's turn. Yeah. Y'all thought y'all was going to get you. Hope you don't call on the ladies today. No, I'm going to get you. You walk in, you know, you got your life going, all is well, and, you know, you think you found that special someone, and, you know, you got your girlfriend that's telling you, oh, no, he is not the one. That is not the Lord. But you feel in your heart that's the one. But your girl who God put in your life can see something that you can't see. And she's looking and saying, if I were you, according to what this word says, you might need to get out of there. And see, that's what it's about, being in fellowship and training with people. I know I talk in a way that you're saying, you know, Pastor, you, how do you know so much about that? It's not condemning you. I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to exhort, to lift, to say, you know what? It's a real world out there, and it doesn't play fair. And the key is you have to keep moving forward. No matter what, you have to keep moving forward. But we can't do this alone. We got to have brothers and sisters to the left and to the right. And I coach this little peewee football team. And these little kids, you know, they get around me and they're just looking at me, you know. And our motto this year on our team is called unity. So I make the kids on the count of three. They say unity. And they say every player counts. And what I'm trying to instill in these young boys is this. Is that you are valuable. And you are needed. No matter what position you find yourself playing on this team, you're still valuable. And that's the same thing with God. No matter what position you find yourself on the team, you can be a housewife. And I'm here to tell you, that's the hardest job in America, bar none. Anybody, I don't know about you, but I've had to sit in the house with some kids. And I went crazy. When you coming back? When you coming, you like an Iron Chef. You got skillets going, you got the kids crying, you trying to do laundry, dishes, you got all this going on, and all of a sudden, you know, you just, what's going on? But you're doing it. You know what? You're valuable, because what you're doing is you're pouring into the next generation, and you're speaking life over those babies, and you're growing them up, and you're showing them, you know what, as a woman, you know what, it's okay to be home and to love you and to be there. But then you got the corporate wife, and that's okay too. Going out there, making it happen. Praise God for that. Help a brother out, you know what I'm saying? If you're married, you know, come on in here, help me. Let's pull this thing together. And that's just as great as well, going out there and making it happen. Maybe you got, you're working in the field of as a college student. And I'm telling you right now, you on a college campus, there's so much going on out there right now. Things being pumped on into you, and you can do this, and you can be that, and you can live however you want. It's just craziness. Trying to figure out tuition and books and where I'm going to live and jobs. You know what? But you're valuable. In the eyes of God, you're valuable, because every great leader came off a college campus. You can track them. Go back. You'll say campus. That's why it's so important as a ministry that we reach the campuses for Jesus Christ. Maybe you're in law enforcement. A lot of people, you know, all this stuff going on, but you know what? That person, man or woman, is laying down their life to protect you and I so that we can go to bed at night and relax, knowing that ain't nothing crazy going to happen in my neighborhood or at my house, because somebody's out there on guard walking. You know what? You're valuable. You're valuable. The key is to keep moving forward. The next thing I talk about is finances, because a lot of people get caught up in the financial aspect of the kingdom of God. But the Bible says in Malachi 3:10-11, it says that when we tithe and offer, God promises that he'll throw back the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. You know what the tithe does? The tithe deals with a man or a woman's soul, the heart issue. And see, he wants to challenge you and I, because you know when you can do anything we want. You can mess with all kind of stuff, but all of a sudden you start messing with my pocketbook. Now all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute now, you didn't have to go there. Let something happen with your finances. All of a sudden you back in the church. You was out of the church, but let something crazy, I'm coming back. And so we got to realize is that everything we have comes from God anyway. And that God is challenging you and I, saying, look, can you live more off of the 90 than you can the 100? And you know, when I learned that, it freed me. It doesn't matter, it's all his anyway. And it caused me to be able to move forward in life in peace, to be generous, to be a blessing, not to worry about where things are going. It's like, you know what, it's God's anyway. Bless people, love people, send, sow here, sow there. After this, I gotta go, my daughter's a cheerleader, and I gotta go to some fundraiser over here at Acme food store. Like, well, what am I gonna do over here? Hang out with a bunch of cheerleaders after this. Shaking a can, I'm gonna be like, can you spare a dollar? Can you spare a dollar? Spare a dollar. You know what? I'm gonna give. I'm gonna put something in there to help these young ladies go do whatever. You know why? Because I wanna be generous. Help them. Help these young people. Keep moving forward. You know, it'd be a shame if everything we did on this side of eternity was for nothing. I'd be like, what? You telling me I live like this and I don't get anything? Just a little pat on the back? No, the Bible says this in 2 Timothy 4:8. I'm getting ready to close. It says, in the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness. Remember in the beginning, we talked about a crown. Michael Phelps got a crown, but I'm telling you, this crown, this little medal around his neck is nothing compared to what God is going to give you and I when we stand before him. It says, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And so when I stand before him, he's going to roll my life like a big screen TV, LED, all the good stuff, flat screen, all that is going to be rolling. He's going to sit there and roll good, bad, and ugly of my life. I'll be standing there. Yep, I did that. Oh, gosh, I can't. Don't bring that back up. I forgot all about it. Oh, gosh, yeah, I did all of that. Yes. But you know what? He's going to look at us. And the question, what did you do with my son, Jesus Christ, when he was presented to you? Did you stiff arm him? Did you give him the Heisman? I ain't got time for Jesus. Or did you say, you know what? When he was presented to me, I embraced him. I may not have knew who he was or what he was about, but I just said, you know what? If this is what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to do it. And I want to do it to the best of my ability. And I know I'm not perfect, and I'm going to probably fall and have to get back up, but I kept moving forward with Jesus. You know what? He'll take that crown, sit it right on your head, and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You know what? This journey is tough. Life will throw something at you that'll just bring you to your knees. And if you don't have these things that I just talked about this morning in your life, the enemy doesn't play fair. And the reason the enemy doesn't play fair is this, is because he knows the gift that you and I are to the God of heaven and earth. And if he can get you off the face of this earth quick, he's going to do it. Because as you and I continue this journey, and God continues to raise you and I up, we're going to begin to make impacts in our spheres of influence. and that scares the enemy. As a college student, impact, spheres of influence. As a businessman, impact. You can be in any area of life and you're going to make an impact that scares the enemy. I'm going to close with this. Jesus told the disciples, you know, they were real excited because they believed in Jesus. They were real excited because they believed in him. And Jesus looked at him. He said, you know what? The reason you believe is because you see me. You get to touch me. You get to see the things that a lot of people have longed to see. The dead raised, blind eyes open, walking on water, the feeding of the multitudes. You get to see all this. But the ones that I'm going to clap the loudest for, the ones that I'm going to be cheering for, is the one that hasn't seen but still believes. The one that never saw me, that never touched me, that never got to be around me, but yet they still believe. See, that's you and I. That's the thing that God is so excited about, is that we've never seen him, we've never touched him, but you know what? We still cleave to that faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, God is for you and not against you. He wants you to win this battle, but you and I have to keep moving forward no matter what. We got to stay the course and walk this thing out, not alone, together. And I promise you, we'll come across that finish line holding hands, cheering, saying, you know, I can't believe it. You made it. I made it. We limped across. It don't matter, but we got in here. Amen. Well, I'm going to steal a line from Pastor Adam. I'm out of gas. But I just want to tell you, no matter what trial you come against, you take these points this morning that you talked and heard about, and you keep moving forward. You don't let the enemy tell you what you can and can't do. Because if God has given you a promise and has spoken a word over your life, you have to continue to hold on to that and move forward. Stand to our feet. Pray for us. Ken's going to come up here. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you that your word says in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who or what can be against us? And God, I thank you that you're for people in this room today. And I come against the lie of the enemy that you forgot them, that you don't care about them. Lord, you care about your creation. Every man and every woman in this room, you care deeply about. And Father, I ask today, Lord, that you would visit people in a way, Lord, that will help them to continue to move forward in life. No matter what life is thrown at them, Lord, you're greater than that. Finances, health, relationally. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're in the middle of it. And that as they pray, as they cry out to you, you promised that you would hear and answer. And so, Lord, this morning, wherever people may find themselves on this journey, I pray, speak that word of encouragement to them to keep them going. I hear the Lord saying to some of you this morning that it's not over. Some of you feel that life has thrown you a curveball and you feel empty and you feel despair, but it's not over. This Jesus is a life-giving God. And all it takes is one word from heaven above to resurrect whatever it is that seems dead. Maybe you say, man, my marriage is dead. No, God is speaking life over it this morning. Make the proper adjustments and keep moving forward. God, I thank you for those finances that need to come in this morning to help people take care of their families, to pay the mortgage, to pay the rent, to pay the car note, whatever it is, God, I pray today that they would not lose hope. That resume would go from the back of the line to the front of the line, that there would be bonuses, that there would be blessing, that there'll be prosperity, God, for people to continue to move forward. And for those that are in relational situations that are difficult, I pray, God, restore. I pray, God, release forgiveness in the situation. And I pray power come now to overcome the obstacles that they're facing. You're a good God. So Lord, we bless you today. We thank you today. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you're dismissed. If there's anybody that needs prayer, you can come down front. I'm happy to pray with you, Pastor Dottie, as well, and some of our leaders here. But know this, keep moving forward. God is for you, not against you.